Wow, that's right. Like Christmas is only 6 Fridays away. Oh my word. Can you guys believe that? Man, let's make some noise for Christmas. Okay, maybe you're not ready yet? Okay, that's okay. It's okay. It's all good. But look, you know, this is a really cool time for us because it gives us an opportunity to bless kids, to bless families. And, you know, you know, for those families that may not have a full-blown Christmas experience, and yet, I can't believe it. It's only 6 Fridays away. But listen, we get an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus by, you know, clearly taking the tag off of that giving tree and making sure that you go ahead and secure those gifts and bring them back by November 29th, or grab a meal box or two and make sure that you return those boxes by Sunday, December 3rd. And hey, here's the cool thing about the giving tree as well as the mailboxes, right? This gives us an opportunity to actually invite some friends into it as well, because some of us this year may be a little bit difficult for us, right? We may not have the resources that we normally have. And so maybe this is an opportunity for you to say, hey, I want to ask a friend. Hey, maybe you'll go half on me on a mailbox, or maybe, you know, I'll grab a gift tag and maybe we can split how many gifts we get, right? You can invite a friend. Or maybe, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for students who are watching, maybe you're on the live stream, or even those that are in the room. Maybe you get together with some friends and say, we're going to grab a meal box and we're going to fill it and be a blessing to somebody else, right? Or, you know, those of you who might be in small groups, maybe you're in a small group, maybe you want to get your small group together and say, hey, as a small group, let's sponsor, let's get one or two boxes and let's fill them out, right? I mean, this is a great, great opportunity. And for those of you who are watching online, make sure that you go ahead and tap the button, spread some cheer, because we don't want to leave our online community out of an opportunity to give as well. Well, listen, welcome to the Kingdom Experiment. We are in week 6. Come on, let's make some noise for week 6. Aren't you guys excited? I mean, yeah, right? We've been journeying this thing. And listen, my name is Mark. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet, I'm one of the pastors here at Crosspoint. And listen, today we are wrapping up our 6-week journey of this thing we call the Kingdom Experiment. And, you know, where we've been looking at 2 different realities, right? We've been looking at 2 different kingdoms. We have the kingdom of the world on the one hand, where, you know, this is the normal, the default mode, right? I mean, it's the world where it's our default reality. It's the same old, same old. And that world has its own set of values. And then we've been looking at the kingdom of God, right? And what that kingdom looks like and the values of that kingdom. And these are competing kingdoms. And you know, the kingdom of God, it's a revolution. I mean, you know, it's a different realm of thinking. It's a different set of values where Jesus is the king of that kingdom. And, you know, it's amazing because it actually moves off of grace. It's fueled by grace and it's fueled by love. And it's been amazing. I mean, because we've been watching how the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, how we see them in constant tension. But see, we've been called, and Jesus is the king of that kingdom. And he's been calling each of us to follow him. And it's been incredible. I don't know about you, but it's been really cool over the last 5 weeks to see how God has just been so amazing. I mean, some of the notes, some of the emails that have been coming in, some of the things that have been happening in your lives. I mean, it has been incredible. And today, I mean, we're putting an exclamation point on this because our journey is nearing this thing called baptism. And we're going to be watching today through baptism, people who are declaring that they have come under new management and new authority in their lives. That's right. They've decided that they no longer want to be run or even oriented by the kingdom of the world, but they want to be a part of the kingdom of God, and they want to be under the authority of a good, good king. And this is a beautiful display of the kingdom of God and really what it's all about. I mean, we're going to see that. We're going to witness that today. We're going to see people who have now made the declaration and have now decided that they want new authority. I mean, it's incredible. In fact, there's a movie that came out a while back that I think has a really cool theological framework for us to really get a better understanding of what baptism is all about. Take a look at this.
I'm a little concerned right now about your salvation and stuff. How come you have not been baptized?
Because I never got around to it, okay? I don't know why you always have to be judging me. Because I only believe in science.
But tonight, we are going up against Satan's caveman. And I just thought it would be a good idea if you...
I mean, that's incredible, right? I mean, what a theological framework to operate out of. But, and you know, we thought about baptizing that way, but we thought maybe not because of COVID season and all those other things. So we decided to make some other plans. But you know what's funny about that? Like, it actually asks a really good question. And the question is simple, right? The question is, how come you have not been baptized? I mean, that's a question that all of us can wrestle with. All of us can begin to really think about that question, like, why have you not been baptized? And many of us, you know, over these past 5 weeks, we've been experimenting, and we've been seeing God do a lot of different things through this journey. And we've been seeing God do some really cool things. I mean, he's been creating some really cool moments. I mean, not only for me, but I've been even watching how God has maneuvered in my wife's small group and even in Chris's small group with new dads, and just seeing how God has created these moments so that each of us can actually probably be thinking about what's next. I mean, after you go through a journey and after you see God move in all of these different ways and even some of the prayer requests that have come through and the prayers that have been answered, right? And just seeing how God has just positioned you on some of those challenges that we had throughout the journey and how God was just continuously showing up and just being a part and being present and creating moments for each of us. It's amazing, but all of us probably are at a place where we're like, okay, now what's next? We've got one more week of small groups that you'll be meeting this week. And those of you who are watching online, you'll be in some small groups. And that's the question. What's next? And for some of you, that question is, well, how do I begin to follow Jesus? How do I begin to follow Jesus? Right? I mean, it seems like it's something maybe easy and it's not that hard. But I mean, but it's a real question. How do you begin to follow Jesus? Like, you know, where do I start, Mark? I mean, let me tell you, that's a good question. Right. And today, my whole goal is to try to help you or to try to paint the best picture that I can to maybe help you understand how to start and what following Jesus really looks like. And one of the best pictures that I really have was it starts about 4 years ago when I made a really critical decision. I made a decision 4 years ago that really changed the trajectory of my life. It changed the trajectory of my daughter's life. It changed the trajectory of my family's life, my legacy. And 4 years ago, I made a decision. And let me tell you, this decision was not easy. This decision took a lot of courage. It took a lot of thought. This decision was was something that had to be done. And that decision that I made 4 years ago, check this out. I made the decision to start listening to my wife. Yeah, that was the decision. I mean, I know you laugh. Now, here's the thing, right? I know I just gained a lot of fans in the wives club. They're leaning over to the husband like, see, he listens to his wife. And the husbands are like dropping their heads. Now, let me tell you, fellas, there's some hope, all right? Let me explain. So now I'm coming up on 5 years, which means that I only started this 4 years ago. So there's at least a 1 year gap, right? I have a gap year there. But see, here's the thing. It wasn't that I started listening to her and everything that she had to say. But I did start listening to her as it pertained to money. See, because when I married my wife, I mean, I had been from the time I was 18, from the time I graduated high school, I had basically been in college for 11 to 12 years. And so I really hadn't had like a real job. I mean, I was a graduate assistant at times, and then I eventually got a job. And I mean, I knew how to budget, but not really budget to save. I budget to spend, right? I mean, who budgets to save, right? And so I made sure that I had enough money to buy the things that I wanted, right? But I didn't really understand how to manage my money. And my wife was just like wondering, like, where are all your money going? Like, I don't understand. And then I realized that my money needed new management, right? It needed some new authority. I needed some new guidance. And so here's the thing. You know, one of the things that I quickly learned when I made the decision to start listening to my wife, I mean, she had things together. I mean, she had, you know, savings together. Her credit score was together. I mean, she already had bought a home. I mean, she was really, you know, advanced. And she, to my knowledge, I mean, she was just amazing at, you know, making seen her fight. I mean, she was benevolent. I mean, she was giving all the time. And I was just like, how do you have all this money and I make more than you? I don't understand, right? But it was because she understood some things that I didn't. And so I had to humble myself, and I decided to come under, I guess, new management in her jurisdiction. And one of the things that I quickly learned was that when you make that type of decision, you end up making that decision at least 1,000 times. Because there were times when she was giving advice and I was making a decision like, should I listen to her or should I not? Right? I mean, should I buy this or should I not? Should I save this or should I not? Should I give this or should I not? And through that, let me tell you, it was painful. I mean, I don't know. Anybody like to spend out there? Yeah, Christmas is coming up. Yeah, I see some hands. That's right. Those of you online, just hit some like buttons if you like to spend, right? I mean, so if you like to spend, you know what it feels like when you just want to go on a shopping spree. And so what happens, I mean, it's painful. But here's what I learned, right? Because I thought that money management is about your job and how much money you make and how you're able to budget. But no, see, money management is really a heart issue. That what you do with your resources really is a condition of your heart. It really doesn't matter how much you make. It's what kind of heart do you have to manage it? In fact, there's a really cool scripture in Matthew 6:21 where it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That in fact, your heart is really, wherever you spend that money, wherever you put your resources in, obviously, that's where your heart is. So you're like, okay, well, that was a decision. And I want to tell you that, see, this parallels well with this idea of following Jesus, because here's the thing. It's not just one decision that you make, but it's a decision that you will be making for the rest of your life. Every day you wake up, it's going to be painful at times. It's going to be difficult at times. It's going to be challenging sometimes. But guess what? I guarantee you that if you make those decisions, things will get better. And I'm telling you, there's going to be times when you start and you stop listening. There's going to be times when you cheat and you try to find reasons to work your way around it. And let me tell you, that's just human. That's normal. But here's the thing. When you decide to follow Jesus, it's a decision that keeps on building. Because I want you to know one thing. I want you to know that new management is hard. I mean, new management is hard. I mean, you know, maybe you're in a new company and you get a new boss and then you got to get used to that new boss. Or maybe your company got bought by another company and now you got to do a merger and then they got people that are coming in. Or maybe for my students that are out there, you know, you get a new teacher or a new principal or a new superintendent and now you have all of these different rules and regulations. I mean, new management is hard. I mean, I got a daughter. She's 9 months old. She's figuring it out. New management is hard. Right? Because at first it was all lovey-dovey, but now she's learning yes and no. New management is hard. But that doesn't mean that new management isn't good. See, it's never easy to embrace something new, but what usually doesn't feel good to us is usually good for us. That the thing that seems that it is so difficult to us, but those are the things that are usually good for us. In fact, you know, one of the things that we should be doing, we should stop trying it our old way and start trusting the new way. See, that's how new management begins to manifest the most benefits. And we begin to see the evidence of why having new management is so important. And when you become a part of God's kingdom, you are saying, I want new management. I'm no longer trusting my way, but I'm now deciding to trust in a new way. And see, when we try to do our own thing, when we are attempting to control, we reduce our ability to see the new path forward. You know, it's the epitome of the phrase, Jesus, take the wheel, right? Yeah, I've been trying to drive my life. I've been trying to steer it the right way. I've been trying to earn my way up the ladder of success, right? Those are all of the standards that are the kingdom of this world. When we began to run the rat race and we try to accumulate so many different things and we find out that it doesn't bring fulfillment, it doesn't bring joy. But when we decide to follow the new management and we begin to start trusting the new way, we begin to see life totally different. And let me tell you, it's not easy, but it's something that we begin to do. You start to see the benefits. In fact, we have some amazing partners here at Crosspoint. You know, this next partner, he actually has an amazing story, and he's a very thoughtful partner. But he has a story that actually illustrates this really, really well. Take a look at this.
be honest with you, it's been challenging for me. I'm not gonna lie. A lot of parts that I've really enjoyed and other parts that I really haven't liked. But it's helped me to grow. It's helped me to grow, which is really, you know, what we're doing this for. So, you know, one of them was in week two. There were three questions that were asked. And then you were asked which one resonates, you know, mostly with you. I think it was, you know, God will provide exactly what you need. God didn't make a single mistake when he made you. And then God isn't interested in your accomplishments. And while I think all of us can probably relate to any one of those, I picked B, which is that he didn't make a single mistake when he made me. And when I looked it out, I kind of laughed, like, yeah, whatever, that's a bunch of crap. But then through that, it asked you to reflect on, you know, when does God, or how do you get re-energized? How does he fill you? And, you know, for me, a lot of times being an introvert, it's sitting by myself, watching a movie, you know, TV, playing video games with my son during COVID, you know, those things, which he loves. And I really enjoy too. And then as we're reflecting on that, it asks you, okay, so put those together and flip it on, flip the script there. And it just hit me. I was like, wow. It was like the mind-blowing emoji came up in my head. Because it's like, you know, I can't accept that he made me the way I did and there wasn't a mistake. But then what energizes me is sitting there just by myself, just reflecting, re-energizing. And it's like, wow, it's been right there, right in front of me. I've never seen it until now. And it kind of flipped, instead of feeling guilty, you know, I'm recognizing when I need to take my time, you know. And it's just helped me to really interact in group settings and people settings a lot more calmly and actually be present, because I recognize that I need that time and that God made me that way, and that's okay. You know, I was really struggling with work-life balance, working hard, working often, not winding down, and it really hit a point that, you know, I had some really, really dark days that I just didn't know how to get out of, how to react, you know. I'm a leader, you know, run a business. I'm used to just solving problems. People come to me and I help them. I don't need anybody else to solve my problems, or so I think, you know. And I know that sounds so, it's not meant to be an ego thing. It's just how I've operated. And, you know, as you fast forward through those times, you know, what I really found is I learned how to ask for help of others. You know, I sought the help of my wife. I sought your help. I sought family help, you know, just to figure out, you know, how to manage this. You know, this wasn't sustainable. I couldn't continue, but I didn't know how to get out of it. And really just releasing and really starting to ask for that help was huge for me. I saw this step in baptism as kind of my final step in moving away from that past life, and like my first step on that journey forward of I guess the new me. So as we look at this, I've been kind of looking for the opportunity to be baptized, and I'm like, well, I guess shower time it is. So that's really what it means to me, and I think it's a really exciting time for me and my wife and you and the Crosspoint family as well, who've helped me on the journey.
Oh my word, isn't that just, let's make some noise for John and his story. Oh my word. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, and you know, here's the thing. You know, it's usually very easy for us to really, you know, and comfortable to just stay in the rhythm. Right, stay in the rhythm of what we do and what we've always done, and stay in the same process of just continuously going to work, waking up, doing the same thing, and having the same attitude, and knowing that we're going in the wrong direction. right? I mean, easy to follow the blueprint of accumulation, to just keep living this Groundhog Day-like existence. But let me tell you, there's no adventure there, right? There's no discovery there. There's no real joy there. But see, the kingdom of God is different because it's full of adventure. It's full of purpose-driven experiences. I mean, it's life-giving moment after life-giving moment. I mean, it's full of fulfillment. See, when you began to step into something, when you see differently, you seek differently. See, and that's what the kingdom of God does. It gives you a new lens to see the world through. See, you can begin to see things differently. You see the world differently. You start experiencing relationships differently because you're no longer looking at relationships as what can I get out of the relationship? But now it's about how can I give to the relationship? How can I build? How can I be a bridge? How can I be an ally? See, when you have kingdom lens on and when you begin to see and seek differently, guess what? God starts to create moments and opportunities for you to dig in. I mean, I saw it time after time, week after week throughout the journey experience. I mean, we watch God just move in ways. I mean, you have a challenge where, you know, it was a challenge to give. Some of you may have had this challenge to give $5 to somebody. I think it may have been to give 10 bucks to somebody. And I had one of my group members say, you know, I really didn't know who I was going to give 10 bucks to. And then he found himself in a driveway with his son, a drive-through rather with his son. And he was out at Culver's and he was like, you know what? I'm just going to pay for the order behind me. And the guy behind him doesn't know that he was a part of this experiment. And then come to find out the guy didn't know that the guy that was in front of him was actually a neighbor. And then the neighbor was talking to him and he was like, oh my word, that was me. I was the one that paid for it. He was like, I was trying to do it anonymous, but now I know. He was like, man, what was crazy was I actually left my wallet at home and I couldn't get out of the drive-thru because I was blocked between two cars. These are the things that God will do when you start to look for ways to be a part of the kingdom. God begins to make moments available to you. And, you know, you start to look for opportunities to give and to be a blessing to people. And here at Crosspoint, I mean, we're so blessed because we have people who have that posture. Right, we have so many partners who have started seeking different, and because they've sought different, God has created opportunities for them to give and to begin to impact people's lives. And we've seen so many incredible stories. In fact, I've got one more story to share with you. Here's another great story from one of our partners whose life began to take on a path, and we see how God has now come alongside her, and she's now seeing things come to fruition, even from her past, from her childhood, and how God is beginning to do things miraculously in her life. Take a look at this.
So I feel like what God and Jesus have revealed to me lately in the last couple of years, but lately specifically is that kind of all of my childhood instincts were right. I had kind of an interesting childhood where I had parents and a family that just embraced every religion and what I think a lot of people thought wasn't right because I had a Christian father and a Jewish mother. They just always made me feel that anything I was experiencing was right and that I don't know that they even did so knowingly, but I'm certain now it's certainly purposeful. This family has just made me realize that I was right all along, that it really really is my dad. It really is my friend. He really is my friend. And lately I just see so much revealing. I feel like I see God's kingdom lately. First of all, just even this baptism, in general has been such a reveal to me. It couldn't be better that it is in a rain-like setting. It couldn't be better that It's here. It's at this church in this environment. So the revealing is that this is just the right time, and it's maybe not even as much to scream to others, but to kind of just have that moment to even scream to myself and to be able to go like, oh my gosh. And I've had a lot of those moments lately. This has definitely been just amazing to bring out what I grew up knowing was true, was just this really loving father who was always loving me, never judging, never angry. So baptism for me symbolizes a lot. I think that just recognizing that I'm a daughter, and again, the rain is just so significant that I'm a daughter, and I'm a daughter, and I really want to scream that and know that I really, in this time where I might not have my earthly parents here forever, I do have that comfort and I do have that support. The baptism also means a lot to me, really just to scream and say super vulnerably that I'm all ready to trust and just not have to question anymore. And I know that also my questions will just, I will feel relief. Like I physically feel relief right now.
Wow, come on, let's make some noise for Jen. Man, again, just an incredible display of how God works. You know, when I decided to allow Whitney to manage and influence my financial decisions, let me tell you, I mean, I was on, you know, cloud nine. I was really ready to get after it. I mean, I was talking big, you know, I'm going to save X amount and I'm going to give more than you, girl. You don't know how I'm going to start giving. I'm telling you, I'm going to show you up, girl. And then tax season came around and I had to, you know, you got to show all the documents and I didn't measure up. She still beats me giving and I don't know how. But you know, what I learned was that in the moment, I mean, I felt bad because I felt like I didn't measure up. I felt like I didn't meet the mark. But let me tell you, you know, she challenged me, but she loved me and graciously encouraged me to do better. And see, here's what I want you to know about following Jesus. See, you're not going to always hit the mark. You're not going to always hit the right target. You're going to miss it. But I want you to know that, see, Jesus is going to challenge you, but Jesus is going to love you. Jesus is going to be gracious with you. Jesus is going to encourage you. And see, he's got people who are part of the kingdom that our jobs are to support you and to come alongside you and to help you walk the path. See, because after you make these decisions, it's easy to talk the talk, but it's a different beast to walk the walk. And today, as we'll see people who are making these declarations, people will be walking in a new direction. And that's what it's all about. See, it's about walking in the new direction, walking in the new path that Jesus has set out for us. And when we become a part of that kingdom, that's when Jesus begins to do some amazing things. So today, as we see people begin to take these steps, in fact, there was a couple weeks ago, when we talk about new direction, we talk about moving into a different way, and we were talking about walking in a different way. See, there was a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you guys remember this, but we started smashing bulbs. Because you wrote some things on those bulbs that you weren't wanted to get rid of, right? Get out of your life. These were things that you wanted no longer to have control over your life. And we smashed those bulbs in a casket to symbolize that they were dying and that they were dead to us. And those of you who are watching online, you set paper on fire. You wrote those things down and you said, I will no longer be controlled by those things. And I like how Paul described the following as we follow Jesus. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Which means that when he died, that we were a part of that. All of those things that you wrote down, they died with Christ. They're no longer a part of your story. They're a part of something that was a past life. And as John even said in his video, he's ready to go and walk into the newness of life. And so when you get into that water today, it's a declaration that you are cutting ties with old fears. It's a declaration that you're cutting ties with being safe because Jesus calls you to be adventurous and you won't always be safe. It's an invitation to cut ties with needing to be in control of everything. It's an invitation to cut ties with your shallow dreams. See, because King Jesus has bigger dreams than you have for yourself. It's an invitation to cut ties with shame and condemnation. See, to cut ties with anything that will keep you from the fullness of life. So I want you to know that when you are cutting ties, that listen, it will cost you. But let me tell you, from one person who struggled with finances to another, struggled with spending to another, struggled with following the path that was laid out me to another, that it'll be worth it. See, I love what the Apostle Paul says next. He says in Romans 6:4, he says, "We were buried, therefore, by him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in the newness of life." My word, that's what God wants for us. When we began to be a part of that kingdom, God has a new walk for us. There's a newness for us. And let me tell you, when you walk through these waters today, you're walking into new life. You're walking into new hope. You're walking into a new future. You're walking with a new king. Because see, Jesus says, your old way, your past, your old patterns, they're buried in death. So even though it's going to cost you, I want you to know that it's totally, totally worth it. And as we think about walking through these waters, God is inviting us to be a part of his kingdom. I want to pray for you. God, we thank you today for you've given us another opportunity. And for those of us who are here, we're prepared to experience this baptism. And for some of us, we came prepared. And for others, you're going to call us to get out of our seats today. Because we are here. And we're prepared to take the next step and to walk in the newness that you've provided for us. God, we're ready to walk this out. We're ready to walk through into the newness that you have for us, God. That we might experience the fullness of life and what it means to be a part of your kingdom. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. And listen, this is amazing. I'm going to ask everybody stand. Come on, let's stand all over. Even if you're home, this is a good opportunity to stretch out off of that couch and maybe in your bed and your PJs, but just stand. Because listen, it doesn't get better than this. It doesn't get better than this. And for some of us, it's that time. You came here, you signed up for baptism, you're ready to go. And for others, that may not be the case. But if you're ready, if you're already in your clothing that you want to get wet in and get drenched in and walk through these waters, I want you to come on down here to the front, to my right, to your left. There'll be somebody there that's waiting for you. And there's a sign that it says baptism line starts here. And what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you one question. Who is your Savior? Who is your Savior? And then based on your profession of faith that your Savior is Jesus, you'll be invited to walk through these cleansing waters. the cleansing waters of baptism, as Paul put it, walk into the newness of life. Now, if you're ready to take the steps of baptism but need a change of clothes, check this out. We've got you covered. We've got everything you need. See, we don't want you to have any reason to leave here today and not have an opportunity to walk through these waters, a newness of life. And we've got a t-shirt in here. We've got a mask. We've got sanitizer. If you need this bag, just step out. Go meet some our team out in the comments, and they can get you one of these bags today, right now. You have my permission to go out and to go ahead and grab it. For others, today is not the day. Maybe you're here just checking things out for the first time, and maybe you're beginning the journey, but it's not time yet. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that every time you see someone walking through the water, I want you to imagine that they are starting a walk of a brand new journey where their debts have been paid and their sins have been forgiven, and that the weight of the world is being washed off of them. That's what I want you to imagine as they walk through these waters today. And maybe you're here with the child and you're wrestling with, should we do this again? Or, you know, maybe you were baptized as a child rather, and you're thinking like, man, should I do this again? I mean, I don't know. If let me tell you this, it's your choice. If you're wrestling and you feel like I did it when I was a kid, but I don't know if it, you know, listen, there's no guilt here. But if the Spirit is prompting you, do it. Or maybe you were baptized as an adult. Maybe that's you. You were baptized as an adult. But you're a little skeptical. You're like, I don't know if it's stuck. I started doing some other things. I started getting away from church and God, and I don't know if it's stuck. Well, guess what? I'm here. I'm a pastor. I can tell you it's stuck. You don't need to do it again. But here's what I would say. And this is the best analogy that I can offer you. Let's see, I'm wearing a wedding ring, and because I'm married to my wife, and now, some days we're distant. Some days we argue and, you know, we don't want anything to do with each other. But the beauty is we're still married. And that's how it is with God. Doesn't mean that you won't be distant. But because you've committed once, God is stuck with you forever. Now, you'll see some kids perhaps walking through here, and maybe that's you, and maybe you have, you know, some kids that are with you. And I want you to know that kids are welcome. And you may be thinking, oh man, is this time for my child to kind of take this walk? And listen, if your child understands what it means, if your student understands what it means to receive and follow Jesus as their king, we're glad to baptize them today. Go ahead. Go ahead and grab one. I mean, it's over. But listen, don't rush them. Don't rush them. Because if it's not their decision, it doesn't matter. So I just want to encourage all of us that if you're prompted by the Spirit today to come on up, we're going to sing about three songs. And as those songs are playing, if you feel prompted to come on up, please go meet us in the comments. We'll have a bag waiting for you. And listen, it's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to watch people walk into the newness of life.